Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
If you've been struggling with your weight, Mochi Health is here to help. Mochi Health is a long-term weight loss solution personalized to fit your unique needs and goals. Meet one-on-one with board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians who are on a mission to listen. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medications at an affordable set price and get them delivered to their home each month. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 at checkout for $40 off your first month of membership.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Can't get enough of The Fan in the Morning?
Shown up.
Because this is nothing like that.
Working.
Al and Jerry are here with stories they'd never get to cover on the morning show.
Very sexy robot.
Hey, look at that pig.
Shenanigans.
Naked yoga.
My mother had a bad experience with these goats.
Let's hump the fence.
It's Al and Jerry's post-game podcast.
Hey, what do you say we go here on a Tuesday podcast as the boys have left the building? Well, at least the studio. Al has entered the building. What's up, man?
Oh, good morning there, Jerry. So we talked a lot on the show today. It came up, I guess there was a bit of a disagreement between BT and Sal and their show, and it got me thinking about the old Mike and the Mad Dog.
Sure.
So they would have their arguments. I really don't recall a Boomer and Carton
Never.
Argument that was like legitimately where they were legitimately annoyed with each other. I really don't recall a
don't
single
either.
Time of that happening.
No. Not until Craig's issue. There was never. And I remember when that whole thing happened and it became apparent that while they were going to be trying people out from time to time, that I was going to be doing the bulk of the work until they made a decision. I remember him saying to me, hey, whatever happens between now and 10, we're doing a show. Have fun. Let it fly. And we get out of here. We go back to being, we're good. And my guess would be that was probably something that he and Craig talked about too.
Yeah.
So I give Boomer a ton of credit for that, to be quite honest.
Oh, yeah. It's very difficult to, I mean, I flip out on I'm only doing an hour.
And that's
right?
True.
Where that we get into a screaming thing. I screamed at CeeLo.
Sure.
We've had our arguments.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't imagine doing 4 hours every day with somebody.
It's tough. It's a long time. A long time.
I was thinking about that. Like, just think of like relationships that you have in your life, right?
Mm-hmm.
That you've got to balance. You got to balance your work relationship with people that you're working closely with. You got to balance your relationship with your wife or husband or whoever. You got to balance your relationship with your kids.
Yep.
Relationship with the people you live near, your neighbor. Man, it is a tricky.
There's a lot going on.
When everything's humming along nicely.
It's fine.
Do you ever sometimes think like...
Al's got it right.
No. I'm saying, do you ever have times where you go, I gotta say, right now, everything seems to be humming along nicely. Like, do you catch yourself when everything is harmonious and say, huh,
so,
this is pretty good.
And I'm not by any stretch making light of this at all. I would say not since prior to March of 2020, and there's nothing to do with the pandemic. I would say my wife and I and our families had hummed along for quite a long time without any incident, any issue, any sadness or death in the family. And I don't mean distant cousins, or I mean like immediate family. And when my son had which I've spoken about at this point. When my son had the seizure and then wound up having to have a skull cut open to have a tumor removed. From that point, when that happened, which was during a show, it was one of the first shows I was home when it happened at around 9:30 in the morning. From that moment to, I would say right now, I would say I don't think things have hummed along since then. It's been there's been a lot that's gone on.
Yeah.
Lost my father-in-law in that time. My dad almost died twice. There have been several issues that have happened health-wise in my family, which so far we've gotten through them. So I would tell you that, yes, as of March 1st, 2020, things were humming along for quite a long time, really well. And since mid-March of 2020, things have not been the same, and they have been quite dicey.
So then, even when those things eventually settle,
mm-hmm.
will it always be in your head? Like
always.
Yeah, same.
Always.
Same. Yeah.
Always. Like, I don't have... You know, there. I don't think there's a day that goes by that while, you know, the doctors have cleared my son of everything. How do I know something else isn't going to grow? You don't know. You have no idea.
So don't know, yeah.
The good news is he still has scans every year. Just had another one recently, which I believe came back clean. So it's all good. But every time you go, you don't know. So, no, I would say... I think when you get scarred by something or you experience something, it's very difficult to get that out of your mind as if it's not going to happen again to either that person or yourself or someone else relatively close to you.
Does it make you pessimistic?
No, it makes me more... I really do believe... You know, a lot of the quotes have been funny and fun and light. I will tell you that I've had enough things that have happened... to where I have sat back and said, the hell with waiting until next month, next year. And a lot of, I know they have fun with the comments about death and dying and all that. The whole point of that, for me, is more inspirational from the standpoint of don't get your ass caught in neutral because next month might not happen. Like, if you want to do things, I'm not saying to be reckless and, you know, you're not going to go take out a $100,000 loan to go sail around the world to say you did it. I'm not saying that. But if you've got the means or you're close to having the means to doing things you want to do them. Because, you know, I certainly didn't expect my father-in-law to go when he did. He was in good shape. Never expected that. When my dad had a fall and I don't know if they gave him his last rites, but, I mean, there was a night where we were told to essentially say goodbye because he wasn't going to make the night. Somehow he pulled through. But when he fell and got, like, no one saw that coming. And so it's just little things like that that, you know, my mentality has completely changed from save, plan, think to just do it. Just go live your life. And whatever happens, happens, at least at the end of the day or at the end of time or your time, you can look back and say, I got no regrets. I did everything I wanted to do. So I think that I would say my thoughts on life really took a hard turn right. I was already veering in that direction. I took a hard turn right 5 years ago, for sure. And I think positively, personally. I don't think anything of what I say is negative. It's just, to me, an awareness. That's all. I think I live my life very happy. I smile, believe it or not. Most people actually think I'm a nice guy. I was friendliest of my senior class.
That's true. You have that.
And so, how many people I meet, they're like, wow, you're not, boy, the way they talk about you, I'm like, yeah, I'm aware.
Expect you to be crazy
when
you meet them.
They think I'm a jerk off.
Get out, loser.
I'm like, guys, I'm just me.
Yeah.
So, like, I met a great guy yesterday. I played golf with my son. Couldn't have been nicer. And at the end, he's like, it was a pleasure to meet you. You guys are great. I'm like, thank you. Very nice meeting you, too. And I think when he came up to play with, I don't know if he was a little, you know, play with him. It was great. We had a good time. He was a nice man.
Yeah.
It was all good.
I kind of get that reset sometimes when I'm driving into work. Like, that's the only time I think of life as being fragile.
Sure.
But I think of it every day when I'm driving in, mainly at night. I don't think of it as much driving home.
Mm-hmm.
And it must be because of my fear of hitting a deer.
Understood.
Like, I have that fear, so I just expect the deer to come out at any moment.
Yeah.
And as I'm driving along, I'll sometimes think, like, everything's going along pretty good. But all it takes is one jackass deer.
Or one jackass drunk driver, guy falls asleep, guy doesn't see you, anything.
Yeah. Or my wheel falls off.
Yeah. You ever think about that?
70 and my wheel just comes off.
Well, and that sounds funny, but did you ever think that sometimes, let's say, like, I've had times where I've hit the brake and let's say my wallet, which was on the seat, or the water goes flying to the front, or my phone or whatever. And I'd be like, oh, there's nobody around me. Let me just lean down and grab it real quick. Well, in that moment, if you hit a pothole or your tire explodes or blows out and you don't have your hands for, you could, who knows what could happen? So, yeah, 100% at any moment.
Yeah. So I feel like I get that reset every day.
Do you feel like you've done anything about it, though?
No.
Oh.
You mean like change my behavior?
Yeah.
No, other than I feel like I'm a very alert driver.
Okay.
I really do feel like I'm a very alert driver.
Yeah.
But no, I don't. I'm trying to play that balancing act in my life of like save. I'm trying to play the balancing act of save money, don't spend money, but then if you get in a car accident, you might not be able to correct. Enjoy.
Yeah,
I'm the money you've saved, or you know, that's
I'm
what I think
I'm a spender. I have always been a spender.
Yeah,
I probably am more now than I ever was. Part of it is in the back of my head. I know I am being here almost 30 years. I am fully vested in my pension. I have been told that our pension is phenomenal. So, like in the back of my mind, I know that there's money coming in. I don't. They've been telling us for 100 years Social Security won't be there. It'll be there. I'm not worried about that. There'll be money coming in there. We've got a few investments, plus our home has great equity. So, like in my mind, the idea of saving for retirement, no, I'm good. Like, will I be wealthy in retirement? No. But am I going to be broke? Absolutely not. Not even remotely broke. So I don't, you know, I saw one guy say something about people that sit there and, how did he put it? Because there are people that fantasize about reaching 65 or 66 or 67 to say, I made it and I retired. He goes, the problem with that is most people that reach 67 have so many physical ailments with them, they can't enjoy a goddamn thing anyway. So right. What was the point? Like all your good years are your 40s and 50s. Go enjoy them before you're in your 60s and things start happening.
Yes, that is the balance I'm talking about. Yeah. Trying to find that balance. Because then you get to a point where you're like, eh. Like I always say, oh, I want to go to Australia.
Go.
Because when am I going to go when I'm like 70?
Like you're in, I would say, and I've only known you for the last, since 07, basically. So 18 years I've known. 18? Yeah, 18 years. But yet I would tell you at 55, you are in the best shape I've ever seen you in. And you've been in good shape before, don't get me wrong. But I know the way you eat. You've maintained your weight. You've even lost a few pounds, which is remarkable. I didn't realize that skeletons could lose weight.
Yeah, lost a couple skeletons.
I'm kidding. Well, kidding aside, like you are in the best shape of your life right now. Why not plan Australia next summer? I mean, I would go this summer personally, but why not go? You're going to Montana this year. Why not start planning that next summer?
Yeah.
2 weeks off. Instead of going every other week off like you did last summer, why not take a solid 2 or even 2.5 weeks? Like, hell, Eddie did it during the holidays. Take 2.5 to 3 weeks off and go do a 14-day trip in Australia. You got plenty of time on the front end, plenty of time on the back end to relax, get your sea legs back and be back and refreshed.
Yeah. I don't know really what I think is in Australia. It seems like a place I want to go to.
I'm with you. There's not many places overseas I want to go. That's one.
But like, what am I doing? And they'd be like, oh, what are you going to do in Australia? But I have no idea.
This coming from a guy who just booked a trip to Bozeman, Montana.
Yeah.
And I think you will find a lot of things to do in Australia.
Yeah, I guess you got to figure out where in Australia,
sure.
Right?
Sure, yeah.
Sydney, or what's the other place?
That's all I got.
There's definitely another place you've heard of. Yeah,
Melbourne.
Melbourne. I think Sydney is the place.
Yeah. I think they've got beautiful beaches. I mean, I don't know. I've never been there.
Probably go box a kangaroo. I think kangaroos will fight you if you want.
I think you would do well.
I hope so.
Box a kangaroo.
Yeah, but just box a kangaroo.
Understood, man.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line, plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change, max 1 offer per account. you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The other thing I had on my list for today was more radio station related.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, do you think, because we listened to the overnight fella, we listened to Anthony Gallo, who was filling in for McMonagle. Now, when I hear McMonagle on, I hear the same callers over and over
again. Sure.
Unfortunately for Gallo, he didn't even get the same callers over and over again.
I heard
getting
none for 90
zero
minutes.
Callers.
Yeah.
Do you think that, you know, there are people that just don't talk on the phone anymore, right?
I'm one of them.
Yeah, like you would prefer a text.
Absolutely.
You text me, I'll text you, text me. Otherwise, you know, sometimes you get stuck on the phone, man. It's like, what do we do?
For sure.
You know, I got things. I don't know what I have to do, but I feel like I feel like I gotta have something to do.
Yeah.
So it's tough. So I wonder, like, is sports radio suffering from lack of callers? Not lack of listeners, lack of callers to the station, from either people that just don't even think to make a phone call, or they're listening on the Odyssey app and they're going back, so they're not listening live, or they're going back to the podcast and listening. I don't know. I wonder, like, do you think there's a lack of callers compared to, say, 15 years ago?
Oh, it's not even close. There's a huge lack of callers from 15 years ago. I mean, I remember... Now, this is going back a little bit further than that, but when I used to fill in for Joe in the mid-2000s, before I gave it up completely until everything happened with Craig, I remember I would fill in, and you would have a good, strong open at 1 a.m. Of course, 1 o'clock in the morning, but you'd come on at 1:05 after the update, and you'd be in the middle of whatever the topic of the day was, and it was never for me. It was never everything. You would pick the topic of the day, and usually... and I worked with Joe, we would go to events, and that's completely lost around here. Now, Evan goes as a fan to the Nets and going with credentials, going in the locker room, sometimes doing interviews and tape for you, run it later in the show, but whatever. You do your open, you'd go to the Flash at 1:20. That was still a thing. When you would come out at 1:25, there were 8 calls up the entire night. Maybe in the 4 o'clock hour, they would drop off a little bit. But then at 5, they'd be right back there to finish up the show until you took it to the IMUS program at 5:30 or whatever. Now, I mean, I've done enough shows here in the morning, on the weekends. You look at that board, you look at that phone, you're almost like, do we got to call the phone company?
Is this working?
It is a big difference. Now, I do think part of that is exactly what you talk about. I think I look at kids like my older son, who's 20 years old, who does listen to this station a little bit for sure, but call it? Not a chance. He'd be no problem tweeting at us.
He ain't calling it.
And I do know a lot of people watch us in the morning, too, as opposed to listen. Why they don't call, I don't know. BT and Sal have no problem with the calls.
Yeah, I think some people think, oh, I'm going to wait on hold forever, which is actually, if you have a good point on a relevant topic that they're talking about, there's some people, Jerry, I sometimes can barely get them.
And we're going to them.
The guy on hold. Yeah, there's no wait.
Yep.
And then if you're calling about something we're not talking about and you're a decent caller, I'll put you on hold, but you might sit there for a while. But if you're calling on topic and you have something interesting or funny to say, it goes right through. But we're still like the quality of the speaker phones in the cars, the Bluetooth is just...
It's terrible.
Still terrible. I don't understand why we haven't fixed that yet.
I know. Not great. Why? Because I'll tell you why. Because our voices are beaming up into space and coming right back down.
Oh.
It's a miracle that you can actually hear anything.
Oh, I see.
On the other end.
Yeah.
But it's a different... And also, I do think part of it, too, is when you look at what the medium has become, whether it's radio, YouTube is huge now with all the shows. Again, people call them podcasts. I call them shows on YouTube. They're all really guest-based now. They're not taking phone calls. They're not asking for phone calls. Or it's not two guys. A lot of cases, it's 3 and 4 guys sitting around a table like we are with 4 microphones, maybe in a and just conversing. You know, it's different when you got, I do, like, if I was in here for the full show, for instance, instead of just the one segment, I think it's a little bit easier to get through 4 hours than just two. It's just another voice. You know, if you were there with you, if you really were into the sports and everything and you had an open mic, now all of a sudden three of us and you, now that's four. And it becomes more of, now it can be a little chaotic. I get that. I think it's easier to get through. That's what these shows and podcasts have become.
Yeah. Yeah, especially like you said, the long form interview ones. And if they're not long form interviews, then there's multiple guys sitting
there. Yes, 100%.
For long periods of time.
I mean, even look at the Nick one with Jalen Brunson and Josh Hart. They're there every game, every show with, and I forget his name, but they've got like a traffic cop host, which I think I'd be very good at that job too, in terms of just directing topics at people. He does a great job. There's always three of them there, and then they always pop on a guest for about a half hour as well. No problem getting through 3 hours. Like almost, I actually think sometimes I watch them think they've got more to give, but it's ending.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I wondered that. And the other interesting, funny thing about radio too is, you know, everybody's on YouTube and you're with podcasts, like you're more than just a radio show.
Mm-hmm.
But it's funny, you know, we laugh at our YouTube numbers that are very poor.
Terrible.
For this particular podcast. And I was also talking with Tom Izzo, the digital guy who's in charge of the YouTube channel. And he'll show me, like, when you look at the YouTube videos that do well, it's NFL.
Right.
First and foremost. If you do Yankees or Mets, that's second best.
Okay.
Knicks would be third best. This radio station yesterday did a lot of coverage on Rory McIlroy.
Yeah.
Those videos are
dead.
At the level our podcast videos are. Yeah.
Which is amazing. But you know what that tells me too, though? So what do you think the golf audience is? They did 19 million people watched it.
Yeah.
It's guys that are in their mid-50s and older. Guess what they're not on?
YouTube.
Correct.
Right. So this is what I'm saying. That's a great point. So when you're a company, a media company nowadays, you have to be everything. Your radio, your TV, your YouTube, you're the podcast. People who watched golf, those people really exist and they're listening.
Yeah.
But they're not on YouTube.
Correct.
So do you sacrifice your YouTube numbers because you know those people are on the radio or...
Yeah.
You also, I mean, how much... We've done so much Shador Sanders Giant. Sure. How much more can you do?
Well, my question to you would be with that, and that's a good question for Izzo. If a Shador Sanders segment on YouTube goes up today, are the numbers going to be big on YouTube?
I believe so.
Right. So you're kind of answering your own question in that, and I've said this to you when we've argued, we're idiots. Myself included. I sit here and do this for 4 or 5 hours. Now, today I didn't, but a lot of times I listen all the way in and I will listen all the way home. And I'll get home and be like, wow, I just consumed like 7 hours of our radio station,
right,
which to you is incomprehensible. And the only thing I come back to is because I've got a small brain that enjoys it. You know, the same way you enjoy the murder mysteries and the murder documentaries, this is it for me. And while we've talked about Shador Sanders 600 different ways, there's always 601. And for some reason, we continue to listen to it and watch it. I can't explain it. It can't be explained. It's just what it is.
Yeah, that's why I would think the morning after the draft of day one.
Huge numbers,
should
right?
Be crazy around here.
You would certainly think so.
Because the Giants are picking somebody at three.
Yes.
And no matter who it is, people will yell that they didn't take this other person.
You are so right. They take Abdul Carter. A lot of people will love it. A lot of people will not like it.
Yeah.
You know, and that goes back to you just can't please everybody. It is what it is.
Right.
So can I ask you a radio question?
Yes, I love radio questions.
We always talk about how one little, you know, movement or decision can completely change and alter the course of life, essentially.
Yes.
Did you happen to see, I didn't read it or see it, but the headline to me tells me enough. And it was the Anthony Accumia sit-down where he acknowledged, in the headline, again, I didn't read it or see his comments, but the headline basically says he acknowledges how he and Opie did a bad job with Howard back in the day, that they should have worked all together and could have really created. Can you imagine if instead of those three battling, or those two shows battling, that they, I don't want to say became one, but worked in a complementary type of, that radio station could still be going. Probably yeah. not, but you don't know.
And it's funny because in other parts of the country, they were on the same radio station. So WIP in Philadelphia
yeah.
had Howard in the morning yep. opening it, WBCN in Boston. There were a number of places, but to have them both in fact, I think the company wanted them on K-Rock
mm-hmm.
and Howard would not allow it.
Right.
But yeah, they could have, instead of fighting with each other, but that was also part, it was also part of what Opie and Anthony were doing, whereas they were the young punks coming
sure.
up. And they did what Howard did. That was always the funny thing. Howard did that to Imus. And then when Howard was having it done to him, he made the company put the kibosh on them.
Interesting.
And I know because I was on the dump button a number of times, and you had to dump out of any Howard Stern reference.
Wow, no kidding.
Any Howard Stern reference. Oof. If Anthony even went, hoo-hoo, that was a Howard Stern impression, that got dumped.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
It was funny because the guy who was doing the dump button before me was not a, was, well, he was aware that all the Howard Stern references,
yeah.
but Anthony just started calling him Big Bird, and the guy had no idea and was letting it all fly.
Is that a reference?
Yeah. Well, Anthony just said he looked like Big Bird.
Oh, okay.
So then he just would call him Big Bird, and the guy on the dump button didn't know Big Bird was
him.
Yeah.
That's actually pretty funny.
Yeah. But yeah, if they were being business people, they yeah. could have said, we'll handle, you know, they could have
yes.
rolled out on all the Howard affiliates.
Because we were what? CBS Radio at that time still, right?
Infinity.
Oh, still Infinity?
I think Infinity, yeah.
Okay. The one thing I remember about the Opie and Anthony days, which we've talked about before, I listened to Imus. I didn't listen to Stern. I listened to Mike and Chris. I never made the switch to Opie and Anthony. There were some in that newsroom that did, I can tell you that. I won't mention names, but there were some that when they weren't in the newsroom, they were listening to Opie and Anthony, not Mike and Chris.
Yeah.
So I never got it, but I do remember Opie and Anthony beat the living crap out of them in the ratings for a little while.
Yeah, which is always funny because Mike will always say they were number one forever. And that's not true. There was a couple year period where
Opie, they were number two.
And they weren't, unless Mike and the Mad Dog have the longevity.
Absolutely.
Opie and Anthony were, you know, a rocket that went up, exploded, and fell back to earth.
Right. It's
exploded
amazing.
Exploded themselves.
That show, you would have, if you listened to that show and you had the mentality you have now, you might drive a car into a tree.
What do you mean?
You want to talk about being repetitive and doing topics and having guests.
Oh, Mike and the Mad Dog.
It's everything that you in 2025 despise
yeah.
about sports radio. Despise about it. And that's yeah. what that show was.
The other weird thing, too, with sports radio now that I miss from it is, like, if I were to hear right now that BT and Sal, if they said, hey, we're not happy with each other, we're going to address this at 11,
mm-hmm.
my ass would be there at 11.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now I'll be like, oh, you know what? I'll listen on my way in tomorrow on the podcast.
Because you can.
Because I can.
Yeah. Like, back in the day, there was no rewinding.
No, yeah. If you didn't hear it, you didn't hear it.
Yeah. It was gone.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
And there are some times I miss that part of it.
Yeah.
But I also felt like, you know, when I worked with Ron and Fez in particular, they did such creative things on the air, and it was gone and not replayed. And
that's interesting.
Not archived anywhere.
So you guys didn't. So at FAN, I remember if we recorded everything, but a lot got recorded on a VHS tape. You're going to tell me there was no recording system?
We would record on a digital audio tape, the DAT machine, but it was only to be used for, sometimes they did weekend best of, and then because the, you know, radio is so cheap, we would just record over the same DAT tape for the next week.
We did the same thing with the VHS tapes.
Well, that's what Howard talks about. Howard said when he first got to K-Rock, he was taping his shows on the VHS, and then he found out they were bulky racing them for the next week. He's like, what are we doing?
Yeah. Well, at FAN, we had four that went, I believe, for 6 hours each. They went midnight to 6, and that was one of the biggest things you had to learn when you were in the control room. You have to make sure that these things, they were on auto, but if you didn't see the red light, you had to make sure that they were recording. And then you'd have to, if there was no incident or no, you'd rewind it and get it set for the next day.
Right.
It was just re-record. That's why when people will reference that tapes didn't exist or don't exist, they don't.
Right.
They did in the moment we had stuff, but 24 hours later, it was gone. Just the way it was.
Yeah, and I know there's a bunch of Ron and Fez and Opie and Anthony stuff on YouTube.
Yeah.
And I know I have a bunch of stuff at home, which I have on CD.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I was recording If I was saving the shows, I don't remember.
I have all of, when Matthew was born, all of his announcements from the station.
Oh, that's cool.
I did save that. There's not much I saved on CD. I saved those. Steve Summers, Steve and Bob Uessler announced it at first, which was really cool. I saved the announcements, which was very neat, and I announced when Imus mentioned me for the first time. I thought that was
for me, absolutely.
It was the coolest thing. Other than that, I don't have a lot.
Yeah.
I think I had my first update. April 2nd, 2000 was my first midnight update on a Saturday night. I have that on a cassette tape somewhere. Where I would play it now, I have no idea.
Yeah.
But I do have that somewhere.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah,
somewhere. Then at some point, it becomes you would have too much tape on yourself.
Correct.
So what are you doing with
You know,
all
John
this?
Minko keeps every basketball game he announces? Everyone. Everyone. I have zero.
That'll be for the John Minko Museum that we open up someday.
that's exactly right.
Mm.
Pretty good.
All right, Jerry, let's do the warm-up show. We'll be back here tomorrow on a Wednesday. See ya!